We're talking about Jesus today. We're talking about Jesus, who is the man who loves us, the man who came to teach us and show us the way, the man whose ministry was so brief, but so impactful and meaningful that we sit here in this place today and gather together as the body of Christ, as the church that is saved and set apart to continue his ministry in the world. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be working through a new worship series. It's called Connected, My Life with Jesus and My Life in the Church. It's 6 weeks long because that's how long the holy season of Lent is. Lent is the season in which we look at the life and the ministry of Jesus, and we look at his passion and his death and his resurrection, and we try to understand together along this journey who we are and who we're called to be because of what Jesus did and what he said and what his life means to us. His life on earth, his life on the cross, his life throughout all of creation and humanity for today and tomorrow and until the end of time. So when we do a new sermon series here at the Open Door, we try to spice things up a little bit to help you understand that there's a change. We move the chairs around in a little different ways. We put some new art up on the stage. These beautiful pieces of art were created by one of our church members, Jen Allor, who teaches art at Utica High School. And if you look in the symbol of the cross that's up there, you'll see some words. There are words like growth and prayer and service and Christ and unity. Words. Words is also a word up there. And so those are going to be the focal point for each of the sermons in the series. Today we're talking about Christ. It feels like we need to start off with that firm foundation, with Christ as our cornerstone. And so we're talking about Christ, how we are connected in Christ, and how that grounds everything that we do and everything that we say and everything that we want to be as a church family. So I want to read to you from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. There was a new church that was just getting going, and Paul was writing a letter to them. So this comes from Ephesians chapter 2. So Jesus came. He came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. So when we think about being connected and being connected in Christ, I love those opening words from the letter to the Ephesians where Paul said, to those who are far off and to those who are near, I will draw close to you. Have you ever been far off from someone that you loved and not sure how you would go about reconnecting with them, not sure how you would go about building that relationship? I remember when I was just beginning to date my husband, Joel. We dated throughout college, and early on in our relationship and our courtship, I went to his parents' house. It was to meet the parents, and so there was fear, and there was trepidation, and there was, some awkwardness, as I was a young college student, and Joel and I were home for the summer, but together, and we wanted to come from the different places where we were spending our summer and internships and meet up and spend some time together. It was time for me to meet the parents, and so I drove to their house in Holland, Michigan, and I really worked hard to think about what I should wear that day, and I wanted to make sure that I brushed my teeth soon. You know, it's very soon before I walked into their house. And so after I drove, I pulled off at a gas station and I filled up the gas tank in my car. And then I went inside and I brushed my teeth in the gas station bathroom. That was a poor choice. It wasn't the cleanest. I actually felt derpier having been there. But anyways, I had fresh breath when I went in to meet the parents. And that was important to me. And it was wonderful. I pulled into their driveway, and there was a warm embrace on their front porch, and they welcomed me in and asked me my name and got me a drink and invited me to take my shoes off. And it was just the most hospitable welcome I could have received. We sat down at the dining room table, and Joel's mom, Lynn, served a dish of chicken curry. It's a wonderful dish that I have come to love over the course of our almost 9 years of marriage and 5 years of courtship, but it was not a dish that I was accustomed to just yet in my life. I grew up in a household with kind of classic Midwest cooking, you know, meat and potatoes and chicken, and if you were really going to spice things up, you might put teriyaki sauce on something, and whoa. But chicken curry was new to me. It was a new dish to me, and my palate wasn't really used to that, and she could tell pretty immediately that I was kind of uncomfortable and that I didn't like it and offered to make me something else, and so it was hard to make connections in the midst of that meal when I didn't know them and I didn't really like the food that she was serving. And then my mother-in-law, who is an amazing person and very intuitive and trained in family systems theory and lots of different things, she says, "Now, Miss Erin, do you know what your Myers-Briggs personality type is?" She's trying to make conversation with me, having not met me for the first time, and trying to figure me out and trying to figure out how she can connect to me. And she wants to know if I'm an introvert or an extrovert. She wants to know if I experience the world through my mind or through my senses. She wants to know if I'm a feeler or a thinker, if someone who can make judgments easily, or if I need a long time and try to contemplate all the different options. I didn't know my Myers-Briggs personality type, and so that conversation fell kind of flat too. And I thought, my Lord, how am I going to connect with this woman who is the mother to the man that I am really attracted to and interested in, and I think I might want to spend the rest of my life with. And all she wants to know is, what is my Myers-Briggs? And I don't even know what that means. It was really awkward. It was hard to connect. It was hard to find my entry point into that relationship. And it was hard to know whether or not I was fully going to be embraced into that family. It felt like a make it or break it kind of moment, and I wanted to do well. I wanted to walk away knowing that it was all good and that I was welcome just as I was and that we were going to be able to make something of this new family that was emerging. I think joining a new family or joining a community is not an easy thing to do. But here at St. Paul's and here at the Open Door, we understand that being in relationship with God and with the church is simple. It's simple because it only involves your willingness to be in relationship with the one who is already pursuing you. It's simple because God is open to all of us, just as we are. God already loves us. God already invites us in. And we know that no matter who we are, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what's happened in our past or what will happen in our future, God is with us, and God wants to be with us, and God wants to know us. God wants to claim us. God wants to love us. We can be connected with God and with this community with no other prerequisite than the fact that we are human beings. We are men and women, and we are children, and we are beloved in God's sight. God loves us not because of who we are or what we've done, but because that's who God is. And so at the end of the day, God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. Jesus loves you, and because Jesus loves you, I want to love you. We want to love you as the church. Here at the Open Door, there's no access codes, there's no membership dues, there's no secret handshake that you need to know in order to get in. You're in, and you're a part of us because you're in with God, and God is a part of who you are. We value your presence here, and we're a community that cherishes each and every person as a gift. We're a community that builds each other up, that connects people to Christ, and that inspires prayer and service and unity and growth in Jesus' name. We're a community that does all this because we're called to it. I believe that the church is God's best plan for sharing the love of Jesus with everyday people. And in the video that you saw this morning, it talked about Jesus and his relationship with everyday people. His relationships with housewives and with outcasts, with businessmen, with people who are parents, with people who are single, with people who are on the margins, with people who are elite and up in the ivory towers. Each one of us are everyday people, beloved and special to God. So we want to understand how it is that we can get connected to Christ, to get connected to the love that he offers each and every one of us, and how we can grow in that love, how we can grow in that grace, and then ultimately how we can give it away. We can experience it for ourselves. We welcome it as a gift. We cherish that gift, and then we're called to give it away. We want to understand how it is that we can take the hope and the peace and the love and the joy that Jesus gives us, the strength that we find in our relationship with him, and then offer it to those who are far off and to those who are near. We want to begin to envision for ourselves what life would be like if this is what the church looked like. If all people who were connected to Jesus because of the love that they found in him were able to give it away. In the scripture passage that I read for you this morning, there were three parts about three different words about what it means to be connected to Christ. And I want to read that scripture passage again, just verse 17. Will you read it with me? So Jesus came and proclaimed peace to those who were far off and peace to those who were near. He proclaimed peace to those who were far off and peace to those who were near. In the Christian tradition, in light of everything that we do here as a church, that's one of the reasons that we always want you to shake hands with your neighbor early on in the service, to greet people who are seated on your left and on your right, to explain what you're doing and what you like about the month of March. We want you to be able to share that greeting, that gift of peace, with one another. We do that here at Open Door. We do that in the sanctuary. We do it all the time in church gatherings. We call it fellowship so that everybody can be reminded that the Jesus I know is in me is also in you. The Jesus that is in me is also in you. And so I'm going to greet you in that spirit, and I'm going to extend the gift of peace to you. Paul also used some other words. He used words like citizenship and family and members of the household of God to talk about what it means to be connected to Christ, to be connected to one another and to what Christ is doing in and with through each other. So to have citizenship means that all people have full access. Jesus does not discriminate. Jesus wants all of us here, all of us together. And Jesus understands that together we are better. Together we are better. And that's why that word unity is up there. What we can accomplish individually on our own, working with our own gifts and our own graces, with our own money, with our own time, is a blessing to be shared for sure. But what happens when we all come together, when we all use everything that we've been given? We can multiply our impact. We can do something even greater in His name. When Jesus talks about being connected to a family, He's saying that all people belong and all people are loved just the way you are. That's one of our core beliefs here at the Open Door. That's one thing that we stand for time and time again, that all people are welcome, all people are loved, all people belong here. Not because of what you wear, not because of what you eat or what you drink or how you talk or what your Myers-Briggs personality type is, but because you are loved by God. We want to love you because God loves you. Jesus also talks about being members of the household of God. Members of the household of God. So if you can imagine a house on a city street and walking up into that household, just like I walked up into my in-laws' household on the first day that I met them, Jesus opens the door. Jesus greets us by name and invites everyone in. He might not serve curry, but He's going to serve something. Maybe bread and juice, who knows? And He's going to say, welcome. Welcome. You can be who you are here. You can take off your shoes and make yourself at home because you are a member of the household of God. You are a citizen. You are a family member. You are valued just as you are. This is what Jesus does for us, and it offers a pretty powerful example, a pretty poignant example that sometimes, even though the world, the culture, the society might be against who we are and what we stand for or what we look like or how we dress or what we eat and drink or how we live our lives or who we love or what we do with our time, Jesus is always for us. And because Jesus is for us, the church needs to be for us as well. So what does this look like at Open Door? Our job as the church is to make sure that it's as easy as possible for people to feel welcome, for people to feel included, for people to feel valued when they walk through these doors. Each and every time someone graces our doorstep, we have an opportunity to offer them a gift. And that gift is a simple welcome. It's a simple, here, take off your shoes, grab a donut, and come to worship. Because the Lord who offers you peace is near, and I offer you that peace as well. I want to get to know you. I want to know your name. I want to know who you are and how I can help you. I want to know how I can pray for you, how I can preach a good word that will give you hope and strength for the week ahead. Not only that, as we remain open and accessible to all people, we're constantly working to bring outsiders in. We're on the lookout for those people that Jesus calls us to and summons us to say, how are you today? How can I help you? I want to love you like Jesus loves you. We work here as a community of faith to do that in different ways, and the city of Rochester is really good about providing us examples and opportunities to go out into the community to invite our neighbors. There's things like the Kris Kringle Market and at Christmas time where we can go out and show the community of Rochester who we are and what we believe in and what our people are possible of making and doing. There's other ways where we go to fireworks festivals or we go to the, I think it's called Festival of the Forks, or the I haven't even been here to experience it yet. Heritage, thank you. It's not Forks. What was I thinking? Forks. I don't know. Maybe I'm hungry. Anyway, Heritage Festival, where we go out and we shake hands and we let people know that we're here. We're here for a reason. We're here for them. We're here because God loves them. We're always working to remain accessible and open to new people, to constantly be hospitable, to make sure others know that they are welcomed and valued here in this place. I have a few ideas of things that you all can do each and every week to help people feel included, to know that they're not an outsider when they're new and feeling kind of awkward here in this place. One of the first things you can do every week is fill out your yellow connection cards. This might seem silly. But I'm going to explain to you why it's really important and why it's an act of ministry for you all who are everyday people sitting in the chairs. Anytime a visitor sees someone doing something that they're supposed to do, they're going to be more likely to do it. It's sort of like my son who came home yesterday saying, "I love green beans." He's never eaten a green bean a day in his life at my kitchen table. Refuses it every time. And I said, "Well, Michael, I didn't know that you liked green beans. That's really cool. Where did you eat a green bean?" "At school." "Oh, why did you want to eat the green bean?" "Because Leandro did it, and Tegan did it, and Moon did it." "Oh, I see. So you like green beans now because all your friends like green beans. You little stinker." But the truth is, that's how yellow connection cards work too. When you're new to the church, you don't want to be seen as doing something that's going to point you out, that's going to make you obvious, that's going to make you feel like I'm the only one doing this. But if you see everybody else doing it, you're going to be more likely to put your yellow connection card in. You're going to be more likely to communicate with your pastors about how we can be in prayer for you, about how we can know what's on your heart and on your mind. We're going to be more likely to get you connected with your contact information so that we can send you our newsletter, so that we can send you an invitation to our Easter Sunday services and our Easter egg hunt, so that we can get you connected to all the good things that God is doing in and through the life of St. Paul's. You all can be a part of that simply by putting your name on a yellow connection card and putting it in the offering. That is a powerful act of how you are connected to Christ and how you are connected to this community and how you are loving others. Another thing you can do is make a point every Monday to talk about St. Paul's, to talk about Open Door. Find one person. Maybe that's somebody on your lunch break. Maybe that's a cashier at the grocery store. Maybe that's the librarian who's helping you find a book at the library. It could be anybody, anybody, anywhere who you can talk with about. If they say, "Hey, how was your weekend?" You can say, "Oh, it was great. I went to St. Paul's. I did this, that, and the other thing. And I've got this great pastor. She bounces around, takes her shoes off when she preaches. She does all kinds of crazy stuff. And I would love it if you could come with me next time." We have Bible studies, we have service projects, we have worship services, we have opportunities for the kids and the youth. We have all kinds of things going on. And if all of you started talking about it on Mondays and then followed up with those people throughout the week and circled back and invited them to participate with you at something, somewhere that you do in the life of the church, this place would be packed on Sunday mornings. People would be more connected to Christ because of something you said and something you did. It would be amazing. Invitation is something that's hard to do. It's hard to talk about our faith. It's hard to be evangelists. It's hard to be witnesses. It's hard to share our testimony. But it happens in big and small ways as we live our lives as everyday people. As Jesus did his earthly ministry, as he was preaching and as he was teaching, as he was healing people, as he was blessing children, as he was going throughout the countryside, as he was working with fishermen, he was doing all kinds of things to help people understand how much they were loved, how much they were valued, how important their life is, and how this world would be different if they weren't in it. And so as we work together to be the church, to connect people to Christ and to what he is doing here on this earth, that is our call also. That is our call to help people understand how beloved they are, how precious and how worthy their life is. There's a whole lot else that they could be focusing on. There's a whole lot else that you could be doing rather than sitting here on Sunday morning. But you choose to be here. You make an intentional choice to take the opportunity to be connected to Christ and connected to each other, to grow, to transform, and to live your faith. Will you pray with me? Loving God, today we as your people are overwhelmed by the blessing that it is to be loved by you. We're overwhelmed by the opportunities that you give us to share your love with others, to reach out with a smile or a handshake or an act of humble service, to share in the life that you've given us on good days and bad, but to always offer the promise of the love that will be there for us because you are pursuing us. You are reaching out to us. Help us today to reach back, to extend the hand, to accept the gifts that you give us and to share them with others. Help us to see the face of each man and woman and child who needs to see your love today. Be with those who are hungry and hurting, with those who are cold and lonely, with those who are grieving or suffering under the weight of a sickness. Walk with us each day, O God. Inspire and empower us. Move us by your grace. Amen.